Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy The View.
All right, Dan back with you. As promised, Wes Blakey. And yes, the mayor is here. Cale Geese joining us this morning as well. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dan.
Looks like winter's here, according to how Cale's dressed today.
That's right. Winter jacket. And being a bald man, I'm always rocking a stocking hat as soon as it dips below, room temperature.
Well, I dug mine out, too. So I'm as ready as I'm going to be, probably.
It doesn't mess up my hair, so I always throw it on.
Did Wes get all the oil changed and all the snow plows?
Yeah, I personally did that.
I thought you probably
all
did.
All done, yeah. Ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, Friday we might have a little.
Yeah, that's what they say. We'll see. Oof. We adjust where necessary.
Right.
All right. Well, we had a city council meeting. How about that?
We did. It was a good one.
A good one.
Yeah. Well, I think, we trucked along and had some good discussion on a few items.
Okay.
Even a few disagreements, and yeah, it was good.
All right. Anything else you want to mention before we get into the nitty-gritty? Everybody's thinking.
I don't think so.
Everything's generally okay.
I can do my whole spiel on remember, get your ice and snow off the sidewalks and those types of things. But let's do that if you want. Let's not do that because then it'll keep it away.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. We'll just ignore it for now. All right.
Like always, Dan, if you just ignore it, it goes away, right?
Well, sure.
Right. All problems.
If I keep my eyes closed, I never see anything.
Just preparing to enter this weird time of year where it's like things feel like they're literally slowing down, and that happens, to talk about government working at the speed of government. Well, everybody seems like they slow down coming into the new year, so.
Okay, well, thankfully busy around here. It's my busiest time.
I didn't say I wasn't
here.
Busier, Dan. You're just slower.
My age has slowed me down, I noticed.
I don't believe that one second.
Oh, then you're blind. All right, well, let's get into the meeting last night. Let's see. I grab my agenda here. Let's see. Wayne Housing Authority Board is at the top.
Yeah. Wayne Housing Authority Board, they control, or they're the board, the governing board of the Wayne Villa property. And there's a five-person board for that. Gene Ludd is going off that board, and so the city has appoints those board members, and so last night the mayor and council appointed and approved Mitzi Rodriguez-Kuffner.
Okay.
I think that's a great tie-in with the executive director of the Wayne Housing Development Corporation, mm-hmm. So it'll be a great tie-in for those two
Makes
organizations.
Sense. Yeah. Okay, you want to mention briefly what the Wayne Housing Authority Board does?
Other than manages the villa, Dan, that's what
it?
They do. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But they have opportunities to do a lot of other things. In other communities, they work with the Chodo and the city, and they do housing projects. It's just in Wayne we haven't done that. So maybe with Mitzi involved, maybe some of that will cross over.
There may be more in the future.
Yeah, maybe some opportunities.
Okay. All right. Pine Heights Road was next.
You take that too? Oh. there were three different items on Pine Heights that... The project is complete, and officially we said it's substantially complete as of November 19th. So three things happened last night. One was a change order, and of projects, they true up all the costs of what products they used, what they didn't, and some lineal feet was off from engineering estimates and those types of things. And so we trued all that up, and we got almost a $16,000 rebate or a savings on that. So we love negative.
Yeah, we'll accept.
We'll accept negative change orders. Yeah, and then we made a pay app the fifth pay app for the project. There will be one final coming up next meeting probably, and then also the substantial completion I talked about. Just the date that it's you need to establish the date when it was finally completed, and then figure out in this example they were 14 days late, so now we will have to go back and we'll have to have some discussion on do we penalize them. Or do we say, whatever that discussion is going to be at the council level. They're called liquidated damages that are built into contracts. that you can assess if the contractor goes over a certain day period. And so that's we're setting that substantial completion date at November 19th when they completed.
Okay.
And that'll be an interesting discussion at the next council meeting where we're talking about how do we interact with contractors when they do run late. The most important job, of course, is that they get the job done and correctly. You don't want to be unfriendly to contractors because you want more contractors to work in your city. You want them to bid on projects so that you get the lowest bid. And these people were very good to work with staff.
Yeah, they were.
They avoided a lot of extra delays because they worked through them and ate a little bit of the cost themselves. So, what do you do? You've penalized people in the past. So do you stick with what you have, or do you, one of the last things that we penalized was work on the pool that ended up having a lot of problems show up later on. And it's like, well, you know, did we have some problems show up later on because we pushed them so hard to meet that deadline? I would argue yes. I would rather see if, this company did come in rather late, which, of course, if you start late, you're going to get done. The odds of you getting done late are much higher. But they came in, they got the work done. They worked really well with the neighbors, I thought, or from what I've heard, and with city staff. So I'm going to push the council to look more at the quality of the work that gets done and if the job gets done itself, and maybe try to find some different incentive. You know, Wes and I talked about maybe a proactive incentive where if you get done early, you get. Well, that's kind of the same boat where are you incentivizing them to rush a little bit? We just want the work done. And since we're government, we really don't have the best carrot or the best stick. I think we just got to kind of look at every case and diagnose it individually.
Okay. And we're having that discussion the next meeting? Or
yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, I'm sure you'll let us know how that turns out.
Yes, we will.
All right. Let's see. The City of Wayne ward map was next.
Yes, this was that highly controversial ward map change that we've been talking about here on the radio.
We did bad order.
We did bad order.
We moved two city blocks to readjust after the census. Nothing too fancy there. Third reading, passed again.
Okay.
Finally passed.
All right. I guess we've had that discussion before, so I don't think there's any need to talk about that anymore. Let's see. Agreement between the City of Wayne and Northeast Power.
So this is one that did not pass last night. And let's hearken. I'll let Wes set the stage.
It passed. It didn't pass in current format. We changed a word that really, really guts it, I guess. So what this is, is an agreement with Northeast Power. They came to us and asked, well, due to the polar vortex, right, from last year, the City of Wayne is fortunate we have generation, and we were able to minimize our loss because we had generation. Northeast, for example, does not have generation and weren't as lucky. And so they came, to preface this a little, working with Big Rivers Electric Cooperative, to BREC, who we get our power from Kentucky. They go out and they get hedges on the pricing of power, right? And so they're working through this, and again, it's complicated because we're in the SPP market and they're in the MISO market. To cross that barrier can be difficult, and so they cannot get these hedges in place until March of 2022. Well, that leaves us out February of 2022, where everybody's thinking, oh, geez, are we going to have another February of 21. Mm-hmm. And so Northeast came to us and said, we know we can't get hedges until March. Are you willing, City of Wayne, to if you have to generate, and you're putting that power onto the grid, are you willing to generate in excess and that excess we sell it to Northeast instead of selling it to the market? There are no parameters in here that we have to generate. But if we generate excess, we would be then beholden to sell to Northeast versus the market. So the word shall was in there, that we shall give them first right, really. We changed that last night to May. So we control every card in the deck, and if we want to if the price of the market is outlandishly high, we have a financial incentive to sell to the market and not to Northeast directly. If that is kind of teetering on, well, it's not that much more to get it out of the market, it makes sense to be that friendly neighbor and to sell to Northeast, even though we'd be losing potential profit margin, we'd be helping out the neighbor. And so that's kind of what we had some discussion on. We want to be good to Northeast. So the provision passed, but I look at it as more of a handshake than anything binding. It's not binding. It's a handshake agreement with Northeast saying, hey, if we generate excess and the market looks like it's kind of a break even or we lose a little bit of money, we'll sell to you. If we're going to make a heck of a lot of money, we're likely going to put it back onto the grid. Is that kind of a nutshell what you guys talked about?
Yeah. You went a little deep there, but but that at the end of the day, you know, that 1 in 100 year weather event, if something like that is to happen again, God forbid, we do not want that. Right. But after it happens, it's on everybody's mind, right? And so we want to be good neighbors and help out the people who are, you know, directly around Wayne. They are kind of, you know, they're not Wayne residents, but they're as close as you can get without being it. You know, they shop in Wayne, school in Wayne. So you want to help them out whenever you can. But also our first responsibility lies with the ratepayers in our own city and our own residents. So you have to take care of them first. And so if the market does something crazy, we are going to do everything we can to capture as much upside for them to limit the downside, which we're going to be eating. You know, it's going to be expensive for us. It'll just be more expensive for other people.
Yeah, we never want to run our generators. It's a great insurance policy. If we never run them other than testing, it's perfect for us because we lose money when we run those generators, unless the market's crazy. But again, the wear and tear on the machines, we just don't want to do it. So if we can avoid running those generators, that's our purpose.
Okay. So it's kind of a gentleman's agreement, but not binding.
It's not binding whatsoever. Nope.
Okay. We'll do our best to help you out if we can.
Right. If exactly. we can and if we want to. Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I guess we'll move on. I'm not sure what this means. Updated procurement procedures and code of conduct. Is that for the mayor?
We have to do that regularly, Dan. Seems like every meeting. No. It's a housekeeping thing through the Northeast Economic Development District. It's something the state brought down that the thresholds are different now for what's a micro. I don't have to look at the micro purchase and a small purchase threshold. So it was just a housekeeping change that we needed to make for the whole agreement with Northeast.
Okay.
So yeah, not earth shattering by any means.
All right. Well, Northeast Nebraska Economic Development District is next too.
Yeah. And this is a grant that the city really wrote on behalf of the Chodo. The Chodo is going to receive these funds through owner-occupied rehab. And so we're really the fiduciary on this. The money will come to us and we'll distribute it wherever Chodo tells us to. Their board will be in control of this. We just did it because we were the eligible applicant on the grant application.
Okay. And what's that grant all about?
Owner-occupied rehab. If you have any interest in that, please contact Mitzi Rodriguez-Kuffner at the Chodo on that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We'll move on. A new pickup.
We'll let you keep rolling.
All right. Get a new pickup, Dan, but we don't know when and if this is the price. That's kind of a cloudy topic here.
Okay.
So we have a state bid locked in for a new pickup, but dealer can't really tell us when we will get it or if the price will change. Just that with the supply chain right now being so crazy, they can't deliver it. They can't tell us when it would be delivered. And if it would go too far down the line, the state has the right to come back and change the state bid on a new state bid. So could get better, but it could be, like Lowell Hagemeyer mentioned last night, it could be $500 or so worse. So
okay, well, explain to me what state bid is all about.
So we can go out, and if we want to do specs on a vehicle, we can send it out to dealerships, whatever, and bid it regularly, right? Another thing we can do is if you use a state bid, that's already been vetted. So the three bid type item that we have to go through to make sure we're getting competitive bid process,
right.
It doesn't exist because the state has already vetted that. So it's a state rule that you have to get competitive bids. The state is doing it for you. So the competitiveness they've already taken care of.
Okay.
So they're good with using that number. So what you do is you take that state bid and then you look at if your local dealers can match that state bid, and Arnie's did that. And so that's why we try to go through local as much as we can. But sometimes it doesn't always work out, but this was a case where it has worked out.
Okay. Yep.
And this is replacing a 1991, I believe Lowell said.
Lowell said, yeah.
So.
Okay.
So yeah, 30-year-old vehicle.
We should be getting a pickup sometime.
I can't tell you when. Tomorrow. Okay. It'll come tomorrow.
Looks like an agreement with Carol was next.
Yes. This was really reaffirming an interlocal from 2009. The Wayne's operator license. We allow our personnel to go work in Carroll using that operator's license. So Casey Junk has been doing it since 2009. He's no longer going to be doing that, but Jacob Davis in our department is going to, and Jacob lives in Carroll, so it makes a lot of sense for him. So we just, like I said, we just reaffirm that we're allowing them to use our operator's license to go work in Carroll. It's off the clock. It's not during the workday. So I would rather have an agreement like that than have an agreement with Carroll proper and our guys take time out of the workday to go over just because we've got enough things we need to be doing. So it works really well. And like I said, with Jacob living there, it'll work well for them. So
okay.
It was just kind of a formality thing. Like I said, it's not a new thing. We've been doing it for the last 12 years or so. It was just, like I said, reaffirming what we were already doing.
Okay. Let's see. What's next? Personnel policy.
Yeah, this was, this harkens back to last Juneteenth, was really what sparked this. Like 2 days before Juneteenth, the Biden administration announced that it was going to be a federal holiday. And I think Wes was at a Royals game.
I don't know where I was. And probably Gail. And where were you?
and I was out of town somewhere. And so at the time, our city attorney, Amy Miller, got a phone call and said, "Hey, what do you want to do about this federal holiday?" And she just kind of on the fly said, "You know, 2 days is too close." I believe we gave everybody a floating holiday at that time. And then at the next meeting, we kind of gathered the council and said, "Hey, what would you like to do for Juneteenth?" The council said, "You know, let's make it a full holiday and treat it just like the other full federal holidays." I don't know how to distinguish between the full holidays and the floating holidays that we currently have. But they wanted to send a message that they're taking it very, very seriously. And then the other piece of this personnel policy change was employee benefits related to cell phone usage. So there was a little bit of confusion 15, 16 years ago about if you took a city cell phone, was it able to be subpoenaed? And so a lot of people were discouraged from taking that because they thought, well, I'll just pay for my own bill and that way they can't subpoena it in case of a lawsuit or something. And the city attorney looked at that and said, no, there's no way. Like, if they're going to go after your phone, they're going to go after your phone. It doesn't matter if you took money for it or not. So we want to treat our employees fairly, of course, and cell phone usage in the workplace is essential. The guys use it exclusively except for, I think, removing snow and in case of disasters. So to compensate them fairly, re-looking at the policy from 2005, that was $25. We upped that to $50, and we kind of set the record straight for all the employees that, you know, if the lawyers are coming after you, the $25 stipend that you were getting isn't going to save you.
Okay. I guess we'll continue to let the employees use their cell phones.
Yes, we like them having cell phones.
And we reimburse them part of it, whatever their expenses for their cell phone.
Yep, a portion of it. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Wage and salary schedule is next.
This comes directly from the budget. This year we're doing a 3% increase. Looking at the way that inflation was poking up, we thought, a 1% more it fell in line with kind of the rest of the budget. You know, inflation is looking to be in excess of like 6% this year. So just trying to keep our wages competitive. As you know, if our wages aren't competitive, we're out of line with state compliance. So it's just a way to do it proactively rather than having to have individual wage changes made on the payroll schedule. And so you got to be in the you got to fit in the middle of your comparability study. Otherwise, you fall line with state compliance. We do this so that we can keep in line with state compliance.
All right.
And to reward our hardworking employees.
Well, that's always a good thing to do. Tell my boss he needs to do
it. Man, we probably have openings someplace.
All right. We've had this discussion before about how we rearrange how we arrange our elections and our council people.
Yes. So currently the city is divided into four wards. There's two representatives for each ward, and you know, we've talked in the past a lot about switching to an at-large system and having, you know, the council members not be tied to where they live. You know, are you representing your ward? Are you representing the city? Well, you're doing both. And we've lost a lot of council members from them moving, you know, 500 feet, five blocks, or across town. And it's really tough for a council member. You know, I say council members don't really catch or get their feet underneath of them for 6 months to a year sometimes. You know, even the people who are really astute, still 3 months is like a minimum. And then you haven't even been through a budget session. You haven't been through all of the yearly housekeeping that we have to do. So experience is gold. And looking at that, it was like, hey, let's revisit, because we just had two appointments, you know, based on moving. And one was within town and one was only like, it was only like five, six blocks. So we met, Wes and I happened to be having a meeting with South Sioux, and they mentioned how they were all at large, and we thought, oh my gosh, you know, let's revisit this. But as we looked into it, we found out that South Sioux was doing that illegally. You can't do it. The most you can do is have one represented from each ward and one represented from at large for each ward. So you could have four ward representatives and four at large representatives. This creates a nightmare scenario when you're trying to transition into it, because everybody goes up for election at one time, and the two lowest vote getters serve 2-year terms instead of 4-year terms. And then, so your ballot could be, I don't know, Wes, you want to jump into what the ballot would look like?
Then two ward members would be elected to 2-year terms, and two ward members would be elected to 4-year terms. So we always said,
as well as your ward representative would be up.
Yeah. So how it would work is in 2024, everybody would be up to try to get you back onto a schedule of every 2 years you'd be electing four of your eight representatives. But for 1 year, you'd have to elect all eight. And so when we call it messy, and it's a messy transition, the state statutes do not spell out how to get the transitioning from your wards. They spell out how to transition to the at-large, but not from your wards. So I think council is looking and saying, you know, if we could snap your fingers and say, hey, let's do this, they might consider it. But I think the transition is what's really holding them up.
And just the fact that you can't do all eight at-large also. You know, it doesn't really solve your problem if four people are still ward representatives. You know, it's still possible that they are the ones that move and not the at-large people.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows when they're moving all the time.
All right. So did we make any decision?
I think we are not going to see this again. It was pretty strong, six against, as we talked about it. And I think a lot of the council members had people reach out to them and say, hey, this is the system I've been comfortable with my entire life. You know, why are we switching it now?
Okay. So
We talked about the ballot language and how confusing it might be, and I honestly think the ballot language might be fairly simple, but it's a matter of if that voter asks us, what does this mean and how do we get there? That's where we have to explain this, and it can get very, very messy. So
okay.
That's where, I think council has said, let's pump the brakes and maybe not do this.
All right, so we had the discussion, but we're not doing anything to change anything right now.
That's right.
Unless there's public outcry that says we must go to board system.
Yeah. Or we explored the possibility and have decided not to pursue further.
You did your due diligence.
That's exactly right.
And had the discussion. Okay. We'll move on. Setting a town hall meeting to discuss annexation.
Yeah, flipping the Wayback Machine here, we had a public hearing set back in April of 2020, which got, you know, derailed completely when the outbreak of the coronavirus first took place. Now the discussion is being hastened by Dollar General is about to be open. You know, they're looking at opening January 1, I believe. And that's Caddy Corner out there from Wayne East or Prime Stop. Our second Dollar General. So what that would mean from a city standpoint is one direct competitor would be located outside of city limits and not collecting sales tax.
Okay.
So now we have to make the decision as to, you know, are we going to just annex Dollar General so that we're collecting the sales tax and leveling the playing field? I think we need to have, we owe it to the city to have a larger discussion about annexation and all the businesses outside of city limits who are contiguous to the city.
Okay. And so have we set a date for such a town hall meeting?
We have. It will be next city council meeting, and that will take place at the senior center.
Okay. So on the 21st.
This is as part of the regular meeting.
As part of the regular meeting, we'll have a public hearing and just allow for some public input and a small education piece at the beginning as to, you know, why this all of a sudden.
And we'll do it at the fire hall so there's more room.
At the senior center.
Senior center.
Yes. Yep. So bring your pillow down. It could be an all-nighter.
Okay. And that's the agenda.
Just one more comment about the annexation. I think there was some confusion last night by some council members, maybe even, that we're not making any decisions on the 21st. It's to gain input from the public and for the council to have a discussion. Then any property that would be annexed at a future date would have to go through the regular process of notification and three readings of an ordinance. So this, nothing is happening the 21st other than kind of a listening session.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that later. I'm sure we will. That's the end of the agenda. Anything else you need to mention before we get out of here?
I don't think so. Not from my perspective.
Okay. Keep the snow away as
report long potholes. As
we can. Report potholes. All right. Any other house cleaning things we want to mention?
Just saying that we've got some areas around town that we've got to do a little bit of patching. But during the winter, it's tough. Those snow blades are tough on the streets, right. And we do the best we can with it. But yeah, if you've got issues out in front of your house, or if you run over something you shouldn't, let us know.
All right. Yeah. If you have questions about anything that we've discussed, you can call down to City Hall or contract your council person. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dan.
We'll do it again next time.
The View from Wayne America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.